Governor Jack Markell's final State of the State address is in the books, but what, if any, impact will it have on the current legislative session? For some thoughts on what we learned and didn't learn from the governor's speech, we bring in political reporter James Dawson. James, thanks for joining us on The Green this week.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Well, the speech seemed pretty much what we expected, attempting to craft a legacy with a few new initiatives sprinkled in. Those initiatives mainly, I thought, trying to kind of dot the I's and cross the T's on some previous work the governor had been putting in on some issues. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. So if you look at the governor's written remarks, you have more than 25% of the beginning of the speech as a recap of what happened since he first took office in 2009. And of course, that's something that you really want to do. You want to remind your party and supporters of what you've accomplished during the two terms that they elected you to office. He's touting a cleaner Delaware environmental-wise than when he took office, more jobs, better high school graduation rates, and slow but steady progress on criminal justice reform. But what stood out to me is what was, again, absent from this State of the State address, which is a bold and controversial proposal, right? So after proposing a 10-cent gas tax hike and a statewide property tax to fund waterway cleanup projects, both of which did fall flat on their face.
A couple years ago, yeah.
Right. And the past two speeches have really been far more reserved. So that leads me to wonder whether he thinks there's not the political will to undertake these bigger initiatives, or if he's saving his touch for more bipartisan efforts like what we saw with the corporate income tax bill.
And he argued that the state's economy is headed in the right direction. As he mentioned, more jobs since he took office. And this is all in spite of the looming cuts from DuPont. Do you feel like he made a compelling argument on that front that Delaware's economy is headed in the right direction? And are the economic development plans that he laid out in this final year really compelling enough to move the needle on jobs and economic development in the state?
I think it really depends on how you view it. So he framed it in a way to say that from a pure numbers perspective, Delaware is better off than before the recession. And there is some truth to that. So we got 1,800 new jobs from J.P. Morgan Chase coming over the next few years, which will eventually offset the current announced DuPont layoffs. Mm-hmm. That's barring anything that might happen in the future. And this new business incubator coming from Europe could mesh well with the new economic reality of small to medium-sized companies that are highly specialized, but they grow here at home. And I think this is the point that Governor Markell was trying to make, is that he's saying we can't keep wishing things would go back to the way they were when DuPont and the auto industry were strong here. But on the other hand, he's also not talking about how wages haven't kept up with this unprecedented job growth. In the monthly unemployment report that we get, the state labor department stopped revealing average take-home pay months ago, saying that it's too volatile to accurately present, but it's something that needs to be talked about, that you might have a job here in Delaware, but you're not likely getting paid as much as you did or would have 8 years ago.
And it does seem that in fairness to the governor, a lot of that type of idea of moving to startups and smaller businesses is something that he and his administration have kind of been slowly working on throughout his two terms. I mean, you see what they've been trying to do with UD at the STAR campus. It very much ties in with this kind of business incubator and some of the other things that they've tried to do with these like smaller tech startups and tech training type of things. So there is a consistency in what he's arguing. And I think there's more than a few people would agree that that's the way to go, that you cannot wish for the next big thing anymore.
Right. This is definitely a foundational approach. And like I said, if you have these business incubators here, you're growing things steadily. He's hoping that these will become businesses like Sev1, which have been real success stories here in Delaware. And so that you can have these companies, there are going to be more of them, but they're going to, in totality, have a bigger footprint.
And you understand going through that process that there's going to be hit and misses. I mean, that there's going to be, for every 10 of these that you try, maybe only three or four are actually successful, and maybe one is really successful. It's an interesting argument, and it's certainly something that will probably be what's going to happen well beyond the time the governor leaves office. He also spent a lot of time, James, on education. But are the headlines, the idea of more or higher starting pay for teachers and a gentle push on Wilmington redistricting to try and get that done, are they enough to offset the problems that his administration has faced with opt-out, with some of the lingering questions about redistricting and priority schools.
Well, so even though we've heard the higher teacher pay line for the past 3 years, this is the first time he's promised to actually put it in his budget. So I think that that's a definite step towards what he wants to accomplish. So that's the difference we're seeing on that end. Despite the task force that he created that's working on a new salary structure for teachers, that's still spinning its wheels on actual recommendations. So this is the first solid step in this direction. But as far as Wilmington redistricting, it almost seemed like that plug was for the State Board of Education more so than lawmakers. And Markell is the one who puts those State Board of Education members on that board. So earlier in the day, they rejected the plan from the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission, saying to bring it back in 60 days. But from lawmakers I've spoken with, they obviously do have these questions and, you know, lingering doubts in their mind as to whether this will be successful. But there seems to be far more support for the draft plan in the 62-member General Assembly than the 7-member board.
So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think there's no doubt there's a lot of people feel like this has to get started now because it's going to take some time to actually get accomplished. He also, the governor, took another swing at the state employee health benefits. Does that have a shot, or is that kind of DOA, you know, for him? There seems to be a lot of pushback on this.
Yeah, depending on the details, it really seems dead on arrival to me. So if Markell's new plan for workers just starting their state careers is significantly different from, to be honest, the very generous plans offered right now, there's going to be outcry from several lawmakers. If you're solely looking at who is costing the state the most on these plans, it's older workers and retirees who are far more unhealthy than the average Delawarean. So a new plan with fewer benefits is only going to set the state up with a better outlook a few decades down the road. It's definitely a foundational move to try and get people off these high-cost plans. But budget officials already tried this a couple years ago, and hardly anyone jumped to that plan. So they're going to have to compromise, or there's going to be a legislative solution, because top Democrats I've spoken with want to better negotiate with medical providers and insurance contractors to get better rates.
I guess in some ways there is a certain point where the real benefits are only going to come when some of these older workers start to retire and move off the rolls.
And get on Medicaid.
Well, I was going to say, because, I mean, whatever you do with the younger workers.
Or Medicare. Newer,
who come on, I mean, that's only going to offset part of that larger issue with the older workers.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else jump out at you in the speech or the reaction you got from lawmakers?
I think the biggest thing that hit me was just how measured the GOP response was, at least from people that you and I spoke with. Mm-hmm. Usually they're ready to at least pick apart a few issues mentioned in the State of the State address. But they're sitting back and kind of waiting for the budget proposal, which they do every year. But they generally have a couple barbs to trade, you know, right after the speech. But it signals to me that they're enjoying having a say in certain policy initiatives like this corporate income tax cut. And they aren't going to club him over just this speech. And if that continues, it's going to be a less vocal and vehement minority than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Really, the only person who spoke strongly against the governor's speech was Colin Bonini, who is usually the guy who is going to be furthest out there speaking against it. And, oh, by the way, yeah, happens to be the Republican candidate for governor, at least one of the candidates for governor on the Republican side.
Right. He's certainly setting up, you know, maybe some talking points for later during the election.
All right. James Dawson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.